listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. I'm humbled. I belong. I deserve. I'm excellent. And I earn the right. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday, ready to give you some podcasting greatness.
Yes.
A little bit of a programming note, want you guys to understand. Friday, I will be interviewing Kareen Taylor. She is part of an organization, We Act. It's about environmental justice. It'll be live. I'll be on Crowdcast. Everybody will be able to listen in. I believe they are going to be giving away t-shirts for people that follow both of our Instagram accounts and ask good questions in the chat. You'll be able to ask her questions. It'll be about environmental justice. So, you know, if you guys want to hear about that, check it out. I also put it on the regular feed so you guys can hear the interview in its full detail later. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and that's Friday at 10 a.m. And that's for premium, non-premium, just for everybody. So want to get the word out, and I hope you guys can take out the time to see what me and Kareen gonna talk about, because I feel like, you know, so much environmental stuff is the green new deal. Flint still ain't got water.
Mm-mm.
Environmental racism. I mean, you got the pipeline. Like, it's time to talk about these things. And so now we have somebody that actually knows what they're talking about, that I'll be able to ask questions, and hopefully the audience will ask questions too. So just letting you guys know, that's Friday at 10 a.m. All right. Let's get into the show. Yeah, listen to the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. Make them nice, and we will read them on the air, as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And let's just get. Oh, and let me also say this: I have updated the RSS feed for premium people. So the password has changed to the RSS feeds. If that's how you get your premium podcast on, you have to go to the blackouttips.com/premium, scroll to the bottom page, make sure you're logged in, scroll to the bottom of the page, and in blue writing is a new password. Just got to keep everybody honest, and if you're having any issues logging in with your account or whatever, email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. I will help you out. We'll figure it out. We'll get you squared away. Yeah. All right, that should be everything.
I think so.
All right, let's get into the show. I don't even really know where to start. I feel like there was so much news going around the last couple of days, and we didn't get to really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about homecoming and reconstruction yesterday. Let's see. Bernie Sanders, that's political news. So,
okay.
People have been doing town halls. I think there were 5 last night on like MSNBC or CNN or maybe both, who knows. And I don't really watch the town halls. I'm not a big fan of town halls. Town halls, for the most part, are such like introductory.
Pointless. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they're pointless, but like you said, you get introduced for the first time. You're not really going to get no true hard policies. They could be a lot at times.
Yeah, they're introductory exercises, in my opinion, where, you know, it's a lot of, hey, you might not know me, or let's see how my personality comes across in a room full of people. And if, with them being so early in the process, if you don't have plans, platforms, policies, it's not really a knock on you.
Right.
Not that I'm saying it's never a knock, but it's not a huge knock, because you can get those later.
Correct.
So I'm kind of waiting till we get to some more substantive, like harder, like debate type situations where candidates are explaining the difference between themselves and that other person on the stage.
Agreed.
But they've been doing these, like I said, 5 last night.
which is a lot.
Each one was supposed to be like an hour, and I know I turned on the TV at like 11 something, and I think Buttigieg, whatever, that dude was still going.
It's a lot of niggas. It's a lot of people talking, so.
Yeah, and I think by giving people town halls, you're also kind of distinguishing who are the front runners and who aren't, you know, by time. Like, I think it was Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, I think maybe Bernie got one, Pete Buttigieg got one, and somebody else got one. And it's like, all right, we'll see what happens with this or whatever.
All right.
Bernie Sanders gave an answer about impeachment. And he basically said that if we try to impeach Donald Trump, then are we still going to be running and concentrating on issues? Which is ironic. We were just on Saturday on Insanity Check,
mm-hmm.
and that was what Chris was saying. Basically, if you run right now on let's impeach Trump, what about all the other shit that comes up? Do the American people and Congress and the Senate and all this shit have enough wherewithal to really track both issues that aren't just all let's just get Trump about, let's impeach Trump in a pretty much a fruitless effort to get him out?
Yeah, we should, but we won't. I mean, they should, but they won't.
He did say that he supports the House conducting an investigation into some of the obstructive behaviors by Trump documented by Mueller, and that once that investigation concludes, he's open to reassessing, which is something I think everybody's planning on doing anyway.
Correct.
Not that groundbreaking. But yeah, he says if you're talking about Trump and Mueller, you're not talking about healthcare. Not talking about raising minimum wage to a living wage. We're not talking about combating climate change. We're not talking about sexism, racism, and homophobia. All the issues that concern ordinary Americans. What I worry about is that works to Trump's advantage. I'm not sure he's wrong here, to be honest. I think it's one of those things where because he said it specifically, you'll have people that will agree with it only because he said it.
Right.
That would have typically wouldn't agree. And you'll also have people that would disagree with it because he said it, where typically would agree with this. But I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I don't know that we have the wherewithal in America to do both.
We don't. We should, but we won't. We don't.
Like, I would like us to.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think if not, and it's not necessarily because of the candidates, I honestly Mm-mm. think if we start impeachment proceedings on Trump, that'll be covered in the news every day. But then every time they have a chance to talk to a Democratic candidate, it'll be Trump, Trump, Trump.
Correct. And you won't be talking about issues at hand. And because the way things are going to go, in my opinion, okay, you actually need to find out all the facts. You actually need the whole document, not pieces of it that's redacted. We need the entire documentation so we can fully look over it. And okay, we start the impeachment process. Both houses got to agree, and only one house is going to agree. Other house is going to say no, nothing's going to happen. And impeachment does not mean he immediately leaves the office. People don't know how this shit works. Then they don't get mad and upset. Well, we impeached him, why don't we leave? The shit don't work like that, y'all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, unfortunately, it will be compared to Hillary Clinton because people say she just ran on saying I'm not Trump. While I don't fully agree with that, I do think that should have been enough. I think she still ended up winning by 2 or 3 million votes in the popular vote. So I can't necessarily even say that's a losing strategy the way that people try to say. Like, people really act like 77,000 votes in 3 states was like a referendum on Democrats, Hillary Clinton, liberal policies, everything. And it's not. Mm-hmm. But I do understand the idea of being like, I would like to run on policies. The article I read, though, the main issue I had was it goes on to kind of editorialize at the end. And he says, although Sanders didn't mention the 2016 campaign or Hillary's strategy against Trump in that race, it's clear that his position on Trump and impeachment is informed by that contest. In 2016, Clinton's underlying and sometimes overlying message was something like this: Trump is awful and you will never vote for him, and I am the only other person running for president. Yes, Clinton talked policy too, but the overarching message was entirely focused on her belief that Trump was unfit for office, and voters agreed. Exit polling from that race showed that just more than a third of all voters liked Trump, thought he was honest and trustworthy, or believed he had the temperament to be president. But even some of those who didn't like Trump voted for him anyway because they didn't like Clinton much more. And as importantly, they had no sense of what she would do differently. Now I do find that to be ridiculous.
Come on.
And this is, so that's the part of the article I took issue with. Not in that, that's what people said when they exited the polls, but we have done this thing since 2016 and it's going to lead to 2020 being the same thing, I think. Is there is an obstinate belief in voters who have been documented to have voted for Donald Trump because they support racism and bigotry and xenophobia, and talking about them and taking them at their face value, right? Like, you can't take them at their face value on the exit poll. Like, oh no, I just want someone who would shake things up. No, you didn't want someone who would shake things up. You wanted someone who would shake things up with racial issues, with women's issues, with the border and immigration issues, with Muslim issues. When you say shake things up, you're not talking about the economy. Mm-mm. Or, you know, something that people find a little less, I don't know what the right word is for, but a little less like directly racial and overtly problematic. You know, like people say, oh, it's the economy, but it's like these people weren't even doing that bad or that good under Obama. They were doing, some of them doing better.
Yes, they were.
Many of the people that voted for Donald Trump, like people always like to say it's these poor people in Make America Great Again hats. Many of them upstanding, educated, moneyed white people. So you can't just attribute this to, let's take them at their word, guys, they just didn't like Hillary Clinton more than they, you know, disliked Trump. Nah, it's something about how they didn't like her versus the things they didn't like about him. And then what did they like? What could they stomach? What kind of things would they say, I don't like this guy, in public, but in private, not so offended, you know?
Right, because their actions showed. And also the thing is, nobody wants to be called a racist, even though your actions and the things you do show that you support racism.
Right.
And because nobody wants to be looked down as the bad guy or looked upon as, you know, I'm just unjust. Because the thing is, no, you might not be out here beating people and harassing people or committing hate crimes, but you are okay with it.
Right. And so I do understand Sanders' idea of, I want to beat this guy on policy and not personality. I also think that was Hillary Clinton's idea. I just think when the media is literally making a double standard for this man and asking you rigged questions about this man, there's just no fucking way around it. The media's obsession with him rigs the game up front, and then behind that, the biggest like jig in the sky is the fact that they still take white voters for their word who vote for Trump. Like, no, it's not a race thing or Islamophobic thing or this. I'm okay with this guy being racist, Islamophobic, a liar, a womanizer, a misogynist, homophobic. I'm okay with all those things, but it's really about the economy for me. Like, as long as you let people feel that, say that kind of thing, then we're gonna always have these articles that are like, yeah, see, the key to beating Trump is something that, it's like, no, you have to fight this bigotry too.
Right, because white people let white people slide on shit like that. That's the truth. Yeah. Like, cause you, white people write these articles. White people are the people that write these articles. Not black folks, not brown people. We'd be like, that nigga's bigoted, he's racist, homophobic, like, there's something fucking wrong with him. And white people be like, well, we're gonna take people at face value. And people go, no, them fuckers was racist too. What are you talking about?
Yeah, in between Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, I don't know, Mayor Pete, I'm gonna just call him Mayor Pete, I can't say his last name, between Mayor Pete, Sanders, and Joe Biden, there's so much compromise because they, as white men, would like to see the good in Trump voters. they think that those Trump people are, we should need to value them, talk to them, and they'll come to the right side of things, because they just have no belief that this sort of evil can exist in people who would vote for Trump. They just don't understand it. It's a foreign concept to them. Many of these people voted for Obama just in 2008, 2012. I mean, how can we say that they're racist? Like, and it's, I think it's hard for them to believe, and that is always something that makes them weaker candidates to me and less appealing candidates to me, and kind of scares me that people think that that is the only way to win. Because if that is the only way to win, then what does it say about governing? Because I can't expect that person to take the office and really be against those things. The things that these people wanted, the reason they voted for Trump, has been documented many times at this point. It was the racial animus. It right. was, it was the bigotry. It was the womanizing. It was misogyny, like, you know, stopping a woman from having the choice to have an abortion. Like, it was all these things that they are directly telling you what it is. And yet I have to watch certain politicians get on that dais and be like, yeah, well, you know, they good vote, they good people, and they just want the same things you want out of life. No, they don't want me to have a life.
Right, they don't want me to have a life. They don't want me to, that me existing is a problem. Me just breathing their air is a problem. And that's the thing that's frustrating, because you won't look at these candidates, you'll be like, do you not know your goddamn history?
Right,
talking about you don't believe that these people can be evil. What? Do you know anything about Reconstruction? Do you, like, do you know, like, this shit has always been there, it has never been addressed, and that's the fucking problem.
Joe Biden is going to, allegedly, a report is, he is going to kick off his campaign in Charlottesville.
Why?
Mistake, man. I really think he's running on a 2008 America platform of, let's all just together, good people on both sides of the issues, there has to be a compromise. I think this is a tactical mistake. I think you can't, I don't know what he's doing, because you can't win the South, then you can't become Democratic president. And I don't think he knows how, like, Charlottesville for black voters is such a no-go. I haven't met any black person that thinks it's a good idea. Who could possibly be advising them to this? Because, I mean, I hope it's either an incorrect rumor, or he hears this and goes, let me go ahead and stop and not do this. Because I feel like it's just a tactical mistake.
Yeah, nobody's black around him is actually making him, advising him. Because if they were, he would have never made it public that he was considering... what was her name, the black lady who, she didn't run,
Stacey Abrams,
right?
Yeah,
nobody was black was around here, because unless you talk to her and confirm this, you don't say that out publicly, even if you, this is your strategy. Because the thing about Joe Biden that bothers me, and maybe this is just the way I view, but he's very arrogant. He's like, I throw my hat in the ring, I know I'm going to win. Like, I really think that's his attitude. Nobody out there is better than me. Nobody out there has a connection to Obama like I do. But you know what? What have you done for me lately, nigga? Not a motherfucking thing. And you're actually fucking up if you want my vote. Like, I'm just keep that real. It's like, everything you're doing is almost contrary against a lot of shit that black people stand for. It's like, well, do you really have a connection? Or were you just a white friend that hung around that was cool with Obama? Or did you have a heartbeat to the black people? Because Hillary Clinton did. No, she's not perfect. No, she didn't do everything right, but she surrounded herself by people that was like, no, bitch, don't do that, you gonna make niggas mad.
Right. Yeah, she had like all black women, like all throughout her candidacy, all throughout her like cabinet, all throughout her campaign staff, like advisors. Like, yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think it's telling, because so there's a couple things in the wake of Clinton that I think are interesting. Number one, the field is wide open. And by wide open, I mean anybody can join.
Right.
And it feels like anybody's just jumping in, because partially some people are now motivated that wouldn't have been in the past. Whoever the first woman president of the United States will be, they will owe her it will be because Hillary Clinton ran and lost.
Agreed.
Because then it made a lot of people go, no, why not me? people that in the past would have been like, I'm a woman, of course not me. The other thing though, I think that can't really be quantified is there's something about like with the field having so many people and being so wide open, there's almost like the old guard feel entitled to their spot, and Joe Biden's in that group of people, Bernie Sanders as well,
right,
where they're like, you owe me, like a woman lost, go now, be sensible everybody, it's time to go back to a white man, clearly this is the right thing to do, it's won before in the past, everyone stop being silly with your fantasies of a woman or a non-white male, mm-hmm, or winning in any type of way, and even with the old guard to a little like, and not a gay dude, like Mayor Pete, you're not going to win, so let's all do the sensible thing and vote for me, Joe Biden. I'll be in Charlottesville and telling everybody that this is a horrible, you know, horrible place marked by many divisions, but we all get along, can't we?
No, we do not, because niggas was like, I woke up that morning and was like, God damn, I know it was a fucking Klan rally overnight. Get the fuck out of here. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. And of course, lost in the shuffle, Elizabeth Warren, of course, gave her her she's just been dropping more and more plans. The latest one, talking about student loan debt.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's real.
And student loan debt has hit African Americans the hardest, and Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren says she knows how to fix the glaring racial discrepancy. The senator from Massachusetts announced Monday that she has a plan to provide debt relief for approximately 42 million Americans burdened with paying back excessive high sums of money paid for their educations. Warren said her solution would focus on the inequalities that disproportionately affect African American and Latino families.
Yeah. People under, you have a generation of older people that have a disconnect with how expensive college fucking is. Like, it is very, very expensive. A lot of people will live their whole lives and die and still owe student loans. Student loans is one of the one things, if you file for bankruptcy, you know, student loans, you still got to pay that shit. You know, like, they actually had to change the laws. So people underestimate how much debt and how much percentage of people's income. Some people, the percentage of their income for student loans is sometimes higher than what they pay for rent and mortgage and all that shit combined. This is why children have to, after they graduate from school, have to stay at home longer, get roommates. It's tough out in the job market, and it affects the economy. Why ain't people getting married? Well, bitch, if I'm in debt and you in debt too, we just two niggas in debt. Why don't you have kids? Okay, we both in debt, and now we're gonna add a child to this. Why don't you buy a home? Bitch, I can't buy a home because I'm paying for a home that's up on the wild on the plaque, you know, shit like that. Like, it doesn't make sense. It impacts the economy, and people want to act like people being in debt like this does not impact the economy for decades to come.
Yeah, it's also a unifying policy that I think a lot of people have debt. The only people I've seen really be against this are people that are like, but I paid off my student loans, why the fuck do other people should get their student loans? I want a refund and shit like that. As someone who has paid off their student loans as of last week and paid off Karen's last year, hey man, I don't want nobody else to have to go through that.
Come on, dog.
Straight up.
I mean, it was a struggle, dog, like having to defer payment because you ain't making no money, you unemployed, have to defer payment, all the interest. Like, it ain't a motherfucking joke. I just happened to be in a spot where I was blessed, and we were blessed, but we was like, we gonna pay this shit off. But them student loans debts ain't no joke, and like Roger say, it is a fucking struggle, and the struggle is real for billions of Americans.
Right, so for me personally, like, I personally wish everybody, like, to get the fortune that I didn't have and be able to, like, have a politician that give a fuck and maybe take care of your shit for you or whatever. Like, I'm not against this at all. I'm not even jealous of it or whatever. Like, people need the help. People talk about stimulating the economy and they go, why don't we cut taxes for rich people or people that have businesses or people that, why don't we cut the taxes for everybody except the motherfuckers that actually pay for everything, right? Like, I am like the motherfucker that, like, we will talk about student loans and student tuition being like inflated at unbelievable amounts and right. debt just consuming people, but yet somehow they're not supposed to want to get loan relief.
Right, and it's ridiculous, because the thing about it, debt to an extent, like I said, debt keeps you in a form of enslavement, and not enslavement as far as like a slave, because you are working, but it keeps you in a form of enslavement because you don't have any financial freedom. You can't do shit. You can't go on vacations. Some people can't afford to buy proper food. You can't afford transportation. Like, there's a lot of shit you can't do because you're in this debt.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. The plan would also create a $50 billion fund to support HBCUs. $50 billion. No more begging at the White House. Now, see, that's one picture I want all the HBCU presidents to show up and take, is she get this shit passed. So they can provide affordable educations that are comparable to other schools in their areas. Her overarching plan would forgive federal student loan debt for lower income people. Those who earn $100,000 or less would have $50,000 erased from their loan. Borrowers who have higher incomes up to $250,000 will have similar amounts forgiven. Warren said her plan would impact more than 75% of borrowers. The entire cost of my broad debt cancellation plan and universal free college is more than covered by the ultra millionaire tax, a 2% annual tax on 75,000 families with $50 million or more in wealth, she said. For decades, we've allowed the wealthy to pay less while burying tens of millions of working Americans in education debt.
Right.
It's time to make different choices.
Right.
Listen, when I talk about having policies ready to go being the thing that separates politicians for me, that's the thing that I like about Elizabeth Warren. It's not vague, like, platitudes and that's not a shot at Mayor Pete. I honestly felt this way in 2016 with Bernie Sanders. Like, he had a lot of the 1%, we gonna do this, and then you're like, but how you gonna do it? Like, you can't just be like, universal health care should exist. Like, tell me how the fuck we're getting there from here. Like, this, like, if Obamacare is terrible, show me how you're gonna make the very easy transition to the next thing, apparently.
Right.
You know? Because feasibility matters, right? So yeah, I appreciate her coming prepared with the, like, and this is what it's gonna do, and this is exactly how much it's gonna cost, you know? And now I feel like a certain way. And it's not that Bernie didn't, by the way, have a plan with this free education thing. People keep saying he had no plan. I disagree. He did say that he would tax transactions on Wall Street, like shorts or whatever. I forget the exact stock, like, things that he was saying he would tax. Of course, it made me think, well, what if behavior on Wall Street changes? What happens to your free, like, if they go, well, we don't like this new thing that's going to be taking some of our money.
Come on, they'll adjust.
We'll stop doing that thing. I don't know what his next level of the plan was. I never heard anyone ask that question.
Right.
But, yeah, it just makes you think, man. Like, I appreciate her having that. And specifically the part where she actually thought about HBCUs.
Because that shit matters.
She must have seen Homecoming. Flint, Michigan will get $77.7 million in federal funds for water infrastructure. Now this is money that was already supposed to be set aside for them. So it's not new money. The money is from a $120 million loan that was allocated to Flint in March 2017 through the Water Infrastructure Improvements for the Nation Act of 2016. The remaining funds were released to Flint by the state of Michigan, but Flint's Director of Public Works, Rob Binksick, noted to MLLive.com that this is not new funding. While we grateful for this funding, it's important to understand it's not new funding. The federal government awarded this funding and is utilizing the MDEQ's Drinking Water Revolving Fund as the mechanism to disperse it to the city of Flint. So, I don't know if they still need more money or what. The projects that the federal loan will contribute to include the completion of a second water source pipeline and other improvements. So anything to help them get water now. Let's see what else is happening. I already said this about Charlottesville. Bill Cosby sues his defense team for charging him an overpriced legal fee of $1 million a month. Listen, I don't know why these guilty ass niggas pay so much. Cause I feel like I can be their lawyer. Apparently being their lawyer is just being like, all these bitches is lying, your honor, he didn't do it. They don't present no evidence. They don't have, it's just tar and feth. They want some money, your honor. I can do this. It shouldn't, like, I hate to be on his side. I hate to be on his side. But how expensive could that possibly be? Like, am I charging you $1 million a month because I can't go back to my family cookouts no more? Or I can't show my face in public because people are going to be like, there's that fucking rape defending ass nigga. Cause
come on.
I just don't understand how it's $1 million to do what people was doing. People thought that black woman lawyer was the smartest woman in the world. She was there for like a month and quit. And for $1 million, I'd do it too. It's just $1 million. Like, all I gotta do is embarrass myself and never be seen again. I don't want to be around you poor people anyway. Yeah, for 30 days, I gotta go on CNN. Oh, he ain't do it. All these bitches is lying, your honor. All right, then, that'll be $1 million.
Write it to cash.
Yeah, he mad because he losing money. Mm-mm-mm. According to the Blast, Cosby filed a petition on Friday to vacate an arbitration award presented to the legal counsel of Quinn, Emanuel, Urquhart, and Sullivan Law Firm, who were most recently received $2.4 million in arbitration in January 2019. Cosby wants to collect $4 million in damages from his former defense, claiming the firm engaged in financial abuse of an elder. Oh, y'all deserve this for defending that motherfucker. I hope he win. Stop defending these guilty ass rapists. Of course, oh, you surprised he didn't have the most scrupulous morals? Oh, do you feel taken advantage of? Well, maybe you shouldn't be the fucking defending this goddamn rapist. Oh, he only raped 60 people and they're all, you know what, everyone is allowed under the law a rigorous defense. So I'm gonna defend the motherfucking Golden State Warriors of rape. I'm gonna do it. I need
trying to break the all-time record.
Somebody needs to do it, and I'll just charge him $1 million a month. I hope he win this lawsuit, and then when he win this lawsuit, I hope he sue the other lawyers they won this lawsuit and be like, nope, not you either. Nobody can touch my rape money. It should burn with him. Should fucking put it in his house, burn the whole thing to the fucking ground. The contract between the defense team and Cosby was around $1,175 per hour for legal fees. The easiest legal fees in the world. Come on. I mean, what could you possibly be doing at work? I don't understand. Like, what is that even to discuss? There's no work to be done. Hey, it's the offices of, what was the name of y'all, Quinn, Emanuel, Urquhart, and Sullivan. How can I help you? It's Bill Cosby. I was just wondering, are you working on my case? Yeah, sure. Every hour of the day, 24 hours a day, we got several people on this case.
Ooh, time to party. You want to go get
keep
some more?
Keep it down. We got Bill. He on the phone.
You don't want smoke
Mr. Cosby is on the, our client is on the phone. I would like everybody to keep it down in the background over there.
He said be quiet, Josh.
Okay. We are, we're being very serious over here at the law firm right now. We're looking into several of these women, and you know, we always,
did somebody say turn that music back up? Yes.
Oh, turn it down. We have some other important meetings that we have to get to in a little bit. Mr. Cosby, I'm gonna have to get you off the phone.
I got some confetti for you.
We got some confessions from them for you. Yay. as you just heard my associates say, and
you don't want two step with me,
we're just two steps away from the truth and getting these women to admit that you did not do anything And yeah, so you'll be getting our bill later on today for the month. Just a couple thousand dollars an hour per hour.
Yes!
Per associate.
Come on, Barbara, twist it. I see you over there.
Okay, we have to go, Mr. Kazi. I don't want to hold you up any further. Okay, all right, you have a good one. I mean, what the fuck have they possibly been doing?
Right? Fucking partying.
I could have been his law firm for $1 million a month. Oh yeah, nobody's. Oh yeah, we talking to him right now.
I'd have fucking lit every day.
They're just on the phone. I know nobody can see this unless they're live in the chat, but they're just doing that thing on the phone where like the phone is in one hand, but they're doing the jack off motion with the other one. Like, it's him. It's him. Just keep charging this motherfucker. Let's go back outside.
They'd be like, yeah, Wendy, snort the cocaine off her ass.
The dumbest, like, y'all deserve, he deserved to lose his money. This is the only type of elderly abuse I'm with, because he deserved to lose that money, man. You know you did that shit.
Right.
Wow, I can't believe y'all still charging me for this shit. Yes. I can't believe you giving us money and you know you gonna go to jail. Just dummy. So yeah, he wants his money back. So good luck with that one.
Good luck.
He loved being old when it's time to.
He loved not seeing, but yet he was about to do a TV show where he had to read the script though.
And he was doing the middle of a tour, a comedy tour.
Come on.
And then all of a sudden he got super old, y'all.
All of a sudden he couldn't quite see the steps or the mics.
I'm so old I couldn't rape nobody, not even 50, 60 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. me, guys.
I can't see the light to get off stage.
I'm so old, y'all. Like, I can't.
I got old instantly.
Oh, my God. Like, oh.
How could I even see the pussy?
Right. Let's see what else happened. I cut people. A mega church pastor threatened as she preached.
Oh, no ma'am.
Her target, the local newspaper. Well, sometimes you do gotta cut a person, Karen. I mean, sometimes, you're in church, you know, you gotta let motherfuckers know that you saved, but you saved from a life of this is what you got saved for, you know?
What is she walking into? My y'all better be glad I ain't what I used to be. I cut a motherfucker up. What the hell is this?
Sounds like it. Yeah, it was a mega church pastor. Oh wait, hold on. Is the Washington Post trying to make me pay for this article? I don't think so. Well, we won't be reading the rest of this. I'll just read it the regular way. Hope Carpenter was met with a resounding applause for her monologue at Relentless Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Relentless Church, is that Pastor John Gray's church?
Oh, I don't know.
Huh. I think it is. Relentless Church chat room?
I don't know.
That's him, right? Like, that's that man, the man's church. So I guess they must have had a guest, pastor come in. As they do from time to time, and she must have came in to be like, hey, y'all need to back up off of Pastor John Gray. Don't be worried about what goes on the top of things, okay? y'all poor folks, don't be worried about who riding in what kind of Lamborghini.
Baby, it is.
I thought it was
it
in church.
It is. I googled it. It is.
She must have came up in there placat on the whole congregation for the fact that they was
yeah. I'm gonna put a link in the chat so you can see.
Let me see if I can get the video of this, because I want y'all to see it as
okay. I don't know if it's on the scholar, church website, but that's the link.
The right scholar there. Monique said is it on YouTube? Let me see if I put YouTube in here. That seems to work best. I would like to see her threaten the people, and it is. Yep, I cut people. Pastor threatens local paper, YouTube. All right, I'll wait for this to load in the back and I'll share my screen with y'all. But now I will say this. I don't know if you guys are gonna be shocked, but it's a white woman.
Ooh, back out here slashing.
Try to take
the Lord is my shepherd and I will cut you.
Try to take y'all down Old Town Road real quick.
No weapon formed against me shall proper. It's a prosper because I stab a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I cut a bitch, okay? They call me Karen.
First of all, don't talk about what me and my wife do.
he's calling me something else before all this.
She got that white woman haircut.
I like to speak to a manager, and yes, I will cut a bitch. Okay?
Come on.
I just want y'all to all understand the pressure y'all under.
I want you to know.
All right, here we go, I think. How do I play this?
Come on, Relentless Church! Ain't God good?
Okay, how many times are they going to bring him and his wife on stage? Because it feel like him. Oh, is it not showing the chat? I'm sorry. No. It said it took too long. Oh. Okay. You know what? That's my fault. Let me try it one more time. Sorry, I was trying to do too much on this computer today. It just decided.
You working it too hard.
It's like, I'm not with the shit. So hold on. Let me see if I can show you. And you went off screen. Are you okay? You refreshed or something?
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was me, so I refreshed. My bad.
Oh, okay. All right, let me see. Is it sharing my screen now? Anyone?
Yes.
All right, cool. So his wife is on stage next to him again. Is she getting tired of... Does she do anything besides go on stage next to this nigga? Like, here we go again, talking about my cheating ass man.
She just looking so unhappy.
Don't she? Mm-mm-mm. Oh, this is like one of those, like, montage videos. Hope Carpenter led Relentless Church for 30 years. She now a guest pastor. Let's get to the motherfucking video, though. She returned as a guest pastor March 31st.
Pastor John and Pastor Aventer, I believe in you.
Okay. All that skipping, and then now you want to.
I'm praying for you. I'm gluten filled.
Now it's a bunch of headlines of all the malfeasance with the money. On the real, Pastor Gray says it'd be unwise to visit Trump again. There's no baby. Pastor Gray addresses emotional affair. Pastor John Gray need money. Take it up from Relentless Church offering basket. John Gray asked Relentless Church members to give up $250K to pay for the church roof. Relentless Church bought John Gray a $1.8 million house in Simpsonville. Woo. A lot of money changing hands over there. Let's get back to Pastor Hope, okay?
I cut people. I got a knife right in that pocketbook. Greenville News, come on. We done went through this.
How the fuck is that okay at a church?
How is that okay?
You saw me in the house of the Lord. I cut people, okay?
And she ain't talking about in the spiritual way. She's like, no, I got a box knife. No. I'm not cutting demons. I'm cutting you.
The media really wants to do their job and report on this. I will cut a bitch, okay? Ask about me.
I will slice you up.
I will put your guts on the ground, okay? I will gut you like a pig. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, won't he do it? Holy shit.
I'm ready.
This is also why I can't really fuck with church. Everyone in this crowd is like, yes! Mm-hmm. Cut a bitch!
Then nobody go and yank that mic out. But I know, no, ma'am. What you're not going to do is this.
They're all atheists. Every last one of the people on this stage are motherfucking atheists, dog. You can't convince me otherwise. You cannot say this shit in the name of God to really just justify your fucking enormous greed.
Bro, come on.
You're literally just justifying your enormous fucking greed, man. How is this okay? How are people okay with this?
It should not be okay.
Y'all are giving this man money every fucking Sunday to then turn around and be like, how dare y'all talk about me cheating on my wife with your money? Now finish paying for my house. And y'all need to do something about this roof, okay? Tired of coming in here. The roof in my house way better than this. Can't believe I got to come out of the house for a couple hours a week and preach up in here. Jesus Christ. And I need a new jet. Now, Pastor Hope, go tell these people that you will cut a bitch if they keep telling the truth about me in these papers. Good grief.
I'm still here.
Threatening the media, dog. That's like some Trump shit. They say it's not the first time she made the news. What the fuck was the first time?
Right.
In 2017, she penned a since deleted Facebook post critiquing NFL players for protesting their national anthem.
You said it.
I could feel it. I could feel it coming off of her. Make America great again. Oh, I cut a bitch, okay? I used to cut motherfuckers. Me and Ray Lewis got a lot in common. Neither one of us kneel for the anthem. Fuck it. Anyway, oh, man.
Oh, he was one of them preachers that was up there with Trump.
Yeah, he went to see Trump. Yes. It's y'all, come on, man. It's a bastardization of Christianity, man. It's not what it's supposed to be about on any level.
No!
Like, I understand how it's practiced and what it's become in America, and it does sicken me, but damn, man, it's not. Nobody in this church got up and was like, hey, this is insane.
This ain't right.
Pretty sure Jesus was not doing this.
Mm-mm.
What part of that chapter is that?
He was flipping over tables and shit, but he ain't never stab a bitch.
Listen, I used to cut people, okay? I got my knife right over there.
I mean, he changed water into wine. He was about that party and had a fish fry, but he wasn't stabbing people.
Listen, give me my carpentry knife. I cut bitches, okay? I'm Jesus.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see what else we got here. It's all ridiculous today. A mom of four sons is begging Notre Dame girls at the college, Notre Dame, not the thing that burned down. She is begging Notre Dame girls to stop wearing leggings.
The whole campus.
What the
fuck wrong with leggings?
She says it's time for y'all to stop, ladies. College age girls, it's enough. We've had our fun to put the leggings up. A student run publication that serves several colleges, including the University of Notre Dame, recently reviewed a letter written from a mom. The matter she wanted to discuss in the letter were leggings, and specifically the fact that women and girls wearing them was a huge problem for the Catholic mom of four who was trying to raise her four sons.
Raise your sons fucking better.
The mom identified as the letter's author is Marion White, and she wrote in the opening plea that she's not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. She's just a Catholic mother of four sons with a problem that only girls can solve, leggings.
No, 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 no. That's not the problem. The problem is not leggings.
I've thought about writing this letter for a long time. I waited hoping that fashions would change and such a letter would be necessary. But that doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. I'm just a Catholic mother of four sons with a problem that only girls can solve. Leggings. The emergence of leggings as pants some years ago baffled me. That's such an unforgiving garment. Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape. I was at Mass in the Basilica with my family. In front of us was a group of young women all wearing very snug fitting leggings and all wearing short waisted tops so that the lower body was uncovered except for the leggings. Some of them truly looked as though the leggings had been painted on them. Look at them leggings. I mean, one of them even bent over in the front row to pick up something, and I swear to God, okay, sit on my face. A world in which women continue to be depicted as babes by movies, video games, music videos, etc., makes it hard on Catholic mothers to teach their sons that women are someone's daughters and sisters, that women should be viewed as people, and all people should be considered with respect. I talked to my sons about Princess Leia and how Jabba the Hutt tried to steal her personhood by putting her into a slave girl outfit in which her body became the focus. That's the only scene in the whole franchise in which Leia appears in such a way, and it's forced upon her.
We were referring to Star Wars?
That is also as real as the Catholic religion, Karen. Leggings are hardly slave girl outfits, and no one is forcing them on the countless young women who wear them. But I wonder why no one thinks it's strange that this fashion industry has caused women to voluntarily expose their nether regions in this way. Oh, I do declare. I was ashamed for the young women at Mass. I thought of all the other men around and behind us who couldn't help but see their behinds. My sons know better than to ogle a woman's body, certainly when I'm around and hopefully when I'm not. They didn't stare, and they didn't comment afterwards. Cause they got a freak mom too. It's like, I know not to stare around you. You'll go crazy. But you couldn't help but see those blackly naked rear ends. I didn't want to see them, but they were unavoidable. How much more difficult for young guys to ignore them? This whole thing is just, Becky, look at her butt. Like,
oh my God, Becky.
Oh my God.
Look at her butt in those pants.
I've heard women say that they like leggings because they're comfortable.
They are.
So are pajamas. So is nakedness. And the human body is a beautiful thing, but we don't go around naked because we respect ourselves. We want to be seen as a person, not a body like slave girl Leia. We don't go naked because we respect the other people who must see us, whether they would or not. These are not just my sons. They're the fathers and brothers of your friends, the male students in your classes, the men of every variety who visit the campus. I'm fretting both because of unsavory guys who are looking at you creepily and nice guys who are doing everything to avoid looking at you. For the Catholic mothers who want to find a blanket to lovingly cover your nakedness and protect you, and to find scarves to tie over the eyes of their sons to protect them from you.
Something wrong with you, woman.
Can you imagine somebody putting scarves over the eyes of a fucking kid? Oh, leggings. Hold on. Where's my scarf?
The whole thing is contradicting itself. You do have a problem with the human body. You got a problem with titties and ass. You got a problem with it. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't write this fucking letter.
Ma'am, don't you need, like, the scarf for your fainting spells? Don't you? Oh, my. Oh, my stars and garters. A leggings. Bring my fainting couch. Leggings are so naked, so form-fitting, so exposing. Could you think of the mothers of sons the next time you go shopping and consider choosing jeans instead?
Could give a fuck.
You know you would be mad at them tight jeans. Not them apple bottom jeans, okay? I need some Levi's.
I need some mom jeans. Here you go.
How about jean dresses? How about a shawl? All right, we'll just throw a shawl on you. Let Notre Dame girls be the first to turn their backsides on leggings. You have every right to wear them, but you have every right to choose not to. Thanks for listening to the lecture. Catholic moms are good at those.
Oh, you know, they can't. Her boys can't wait to get the fuck up out of there.
Yep. And of course, it had the opposite effect as Notre Dame decided to have hashtag Leggings Day in Notre Dame.
Right, that's all you started.
And of course there were women that specifically wore leggings that day because of this stupid ass thing she wrote.
Right.
Oh man, she's definitely one of those people to be like, I mean, of course he had to rape her. She had on pants or whatever the
that's
fuck.
That's how I was feeling. I'm about to say, so it's their fault. It's their fault,
right? Oh, and other women having hard news. Nearly half of men believe the pay gap is made up, survey finds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because men don't give a fuck. They don't keep up with women.
According to an online poll of 8,566 American adults conducted in March, nearly half of men, 46%, believe the pay gap is made up to serve a political purpose rather than a legitimate issue. And about a quarter of men, 18 to 34, 24%, say the media reports on men and women being paid unequally are fake news. One option provided in the poll. Overall, 62% of Americans believe that men make more money than women for similar types of work, with men and younger Americans most likely to incorrectly say that there's no gap in pay. Dear Jesus.
Because people are dumb.
You really just gotta be willfully ignorant, a troll, or stupid. Like, there's no in between on this one. It's like, I don't know, man. Them scientists, you know, they be trying to catch us slipping. All these polls and shit, and this, all these scientific studies and all these lawsuits and all this evidence, because you can't win a lawsuit without the evidence to show that you ever paid below people. It's all fake news. Oh, man. Try getting those people to believe in sexual harassment at work.
Mm-mm.
discrimination for promotions at work. Try to get them to believe in that. What a day.
I wonder who was in the poll, like, and racially, was it all white people?
They didn't go into the racial details. It's just men's versus women's, Karen. Measles outbreak, Rockland County, New York declares state of emergency.
Yep, we was on the feedback show. Somebody was saying today, got their baby there shots, and I'm glad. And they were saying they were researching. They was like, people died from that. Yep, and people used to die from measles when that's why you got vaccines. Because before vaccines, you caught shit, you just dead.
Yep, health officials in Rockland County, New York have declared a state of emergency amid an ongoing measles outbreak. The county is prohibiting unvaccinated children under the age of 18 from going out in public spaces for 30 days.
Yeah, people are dying from this, and I don't know what is wrong with people that they are so. And the thing that frustrates me about the vaccinations, a lot of parents that aren't getting their children vaccinated, your ass is vaccinated. You were probably vaccinated.
As a mother of unvaccinated boys, I have to say, a lot of these cases is because these girls won't stop wearing these tight Lululemon sweatpants and all these leggings, okay?
That's what started to the problem.
You get to seeing them leggings, you rub up on them, next thing you know, you got the measles on your penis. And that's how it starts.
First it was the pants, then it was the measles.
You ever tried to get chicken pox off of somebody's balls? I have.
Yeah!
All four of my sons. There have been 153 confirmed cases of measles in Rockland County, which sits about 40 miles north of New York City. The majority of the cases have been in children, most of whom have not been vaccinated.
No shit.
We will not sit idly by while children in our community are at risk, County Executive Ed Day said in a press conference Tuesday. This is a public health crisis, and it's time we sound the alarm.
Right. Nobody cares till they baby dead.
Measles is back, y'all.
Some shit we had eradicated
in full effect. Now it's just time for measles to go ahead and make the leap to being untreatable with current medicines, and
right, because it mutates. People are stupid.
Go ahead and bring on the zombie apocalypse. Georgia bill would require men to report every release of sperm. A two-line proposed bill would require men to report certain events of a sexual nature to law enforcement. HB 604 would amend Chapter 1 of Title 35, the official code of Georgia, so that any male 55 years of age or older shall immediately report to the county sheriff or local law enforcement agency when such a male releases sperm from his testicles. The bill was sponsored by five female Democratic representatives, including Representative Darshan Kendrick. Kendrick made waves online after she tweeted she intended to introduce the Testicular Bill of Rights that would seek to regulate male organs. It was in response to the House passage of HB 481, dubbed the Heartbeat Abortion Bill,
right,
that would ban abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected, usually around 6 weeks.
A lot of women don't even know they're pregnant at that time. That was the whole point. It was like, oh, you want to monitor us, we'll monitor you.
Also, it's just the other point is that people don't care when it comes to men, because ain't nobody going to pass this.
Correct. And they know it.
Right. Kendrick told Rolling Stone she's aware that her measure has little chance of passing. It's already passed the deadline for submitting new legislation, but she said it's meant to call attention to the absurd double standard women are being held to. According to the House website, HB 604 was introduced by Representatives Park Cannon, Renita Shannon, Donna McLeod, Sandra Scott, and Kendrick March 11th. It does not appear to have been assigned to a House committee at this time. Yeah, I mean, over 55 years old. I wonder what made them pick that age for this. They must have been like, it's a lot less releases after 55. I don't know.
I'm assuming so, but
they ain't never met no cat daddies.
Well, we're at Viagra.
Right. People gonna be calling up there. Yeah. Hit a report.
In fact,
a couple releases today.
In fact, the number's gonna go up. I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm tired.
Right. So, I just need to let you guys know that, release some sperm, and I plan to be releasing some later as well.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, do I just need to, can I just have a spreadsheet? This is a lot of communicating with y'all.
Right. Cardi B defends Khloe Kardashian against Tristan Thompson and Jordan Woods cheating scandal. Why do you guys keep enjoying other people's pain? She went on Instagram Live saying, obviously this whole Khloe Kardashian thing, everybody's just like celebrating that that happened to her, and it's like, why? Whatever karma that y'all felt what like they deserve, I think they already have it. So it's like, why do you guys keep wishing that on a woman, especially a woman that has a daughter? Well, I already know people think we go too soft on the Kardashians here, Karen. So I'm just have to say, I disagree with Cardi. Okay, these women deserve it. They're horrible people. Mm-hmm. And they deserve for their baby daddies to be cheating on them and embarrassing them in public with their so-called best black friends. And I'm team whatever is bad to the Kardashians, you know. So I think that should balance our karma for our show. So
we evening it out.
Yep. I also think Cardi's just saying this because, you know, she been on the other side of that shit with her cheating shit.
Come on, and when you're on the side, your attitude changes.
Yeah. Now she's experienced motherfuckers coming at her sideways.
Mm-hmm. For no reason. The shit ain't got nothing to do with them.
Yeah, because people don't think about it, but she's essentially been in Khloe's shoes.
Right.
They think of it the other way, but, I mean, as she got back with a cheating man, trying to work it out, the father of her child that disrespected her and all this, like, it's very similar, and people were saying very sideways shit about her to Ooh. Her mm-hmm. And because she be on social media like that, you know, she sees that shit because she is on Instagram Live and shit, reading them fucking comments and all Ooh. That stuff. Like, yeah, she said, we know how it is when a nigga fuck up. You know that your heart shatters in pieces. Y'all know it feels like your heart is literally bleeding. You just want to die. You can't even sleep. You actually can't even escape it when you sleeping because you actually dream about it. It's like, it's mainly the women in the comments. It's like, why do you guys like manifest and be happy off of that? I feel like, all right, she already learned a lesson. Something real fucked up happened before she gave birth. So it's like, why do you guys keep, I don't know, like enjoying other people's pain, enjoying other people's misery? Knowing how much it hurts when a guy that you're in love with, especially the father of your child, does something wrong, it's just so sad. Well, I'm gonna tell you why. A lot of people had that happen to them too.
Yeah, they had. Yeah.
And concentrating on somebody else's mistakes and misery is a good way of avoiding the shit in your own life.
Come on, a lot of people do it every day.
A lot of people like they see the double standard that the Kardashians get because they're rich white women mm-hmm. going through the same like type of shit. Going through nigga shit, but people feel differently about it when they do it.
Right.
And I think that shit burns. And so you got people that quite often haven't dealt with the same shit. Want you to make the same decisions they make. They want you to suffer like they suffer. Yeah, and if you don't,
projecting.
And if you don't, then it's like, oh, fuck you. You know, even when Cardi got back with Offset, like that was the thing I had so much trepidation about when we even talked about that shit was right. Like, I just don't want her to get back with this dude and have y'all act crazy about it. Cause it seemed like everything in her past, everything about her life means she probably gonna get back with this dude.
Correct.
So now that y'all made her a feminist icon that has to make all, cause the entitlement on the internet means everything works backwards. You're no longer the feminist icon because you're a trailblazer that makes decisions for yourself and we all fucking stand for you and can't wait to see what you do next. No. The polarity is backwards now. Now it is, I am a fan of you, therefore the actions you take must fit into what I decide are good actions.
Correct.
And when
Correct.
They and when they don't, you're quote unquote trash and I'm mm-hmm. going to talk shit about you. And with these
That's
people
that ownership, y'all don't own these people.
And with these celebrities being young human beings, they're gonna make mistakes. They're not gonna fit the fucking mold. And so sometimes I know people listening like, wow, you guys are, you know, probably definitely with me, but you so like non-committal on like just call that motherfucker trash or whatever. It's like, because I really be thinking about the next step and the next celebrity and the next person and like what is the real impetus behind this shit.
And everything ain't black and white. A lot of people just want shit to be black and white,
right? But that's the other thing, like you're obsessed with these motherfuckers because you not happy.
Correct.
What makes her happy doesn't change anything for your life. What makes her not happy doesn't change anything for your life. She's just a person. She don't personally know you. You don't actually do anything for her, and she doesn't really do anything for you. Like, there's not an actual relationship there. Mm-mm. And so to see people, like, dig in to be, like, satisfied with the misery of others or in partying off of it based off of, like, you know, their own, like, whatever obsession with celebrity – it is weird, and I wonder how it feels in the fishbowl that is celebrity when these things get through, because it feels like everybody's dope, they get a certain amount of attention, and then shit turns every time. You know, it's why I'm wary of attention. I'm scared a little bit of it, you know, in the wake of the even with the Vice piece, it's like we joke, we have fun, but I worry a little bit about that kind of shit, because you just don't know who the fuck is going to try to take it to some, now I'm going to dehumanize you, now I no longer see you as the person I listened to that was cool, now I see you as something else entirely, right. I get to treat you in a way that I wouldn't treat other people
and talk to you all types of ways, and you're supposed to just fucking deal with it,
right? And so it's kind of interesting, like, to see Cardi say that, and mostly probably because she's experienced it now. Mm-hmm. but she ain't wrong.
No,
she ain't wrong, and maybe because she's saying that, somebody might listen, but I doubt it. Right. They'll probably be like, fuck Cardi, I don't like the Kardashians, and you're not gonna say anything to me that's gonna make me empathize with them on any fucking level. I don't care. I'll name something else fucked up they did before I go, yeah, I guess being in that situation would fucking suck.
Right, because they don't see the humanity in people.
She says, especially the father of your child does something wrong. It's just so sad. I feel like everybody always wants to talk about how they want to uplift women, but it'd be like the same women that be laughing in the comments when another woman's going through some shit, and it's all the time. I feel like that shit is whack. I'll be feeling bad because I think everybody been in their shoes, in those shoes. I've been through it. Friends been through it. Family been through it. A lot of y'all bitches been through it. That's why y'all always comment on their comments like, I would never allow a man to do that to me. That happened to me. A lot of y'all be saying niggas ain't shit. A lot of y'all saying niggas ain't shit because y'all been through some shit like that. So why is it that y'all laugh and live? Oh, I live for another woman's pain. You know what I'm saying? I do know what you're saying, Cardi. But the question is, do those people that enjoy that misery give a fuck about what you just said?
No, they don't care. They don't care.
They convinced that wallowing in other people's misery is they happy. So they not, you know, agreed. When something bad happens to somebody you already don't like, man, it's real easy. And like, we all have that in us. I mean, I'm not above that emotion of, I don't like somebody, something bad happened to them. Ha ha ha. You know what I mean? But it's just kind of interesting because that specific pain has touched a lot of women.
Yes, it has.
Being hurt because some man did you dirty has been something that a lot of women have gone through, and because of the public light on the Kardashians, on Cardi B, on Beyonce,
right?
Because of that public light, we get to watch you quote-unquote play the fool in public, and then everybody starts going in on how they're better than you. They wouldn't take it. They would do something different. It would never happen to them.
Right.
Many of it's happened to you. You know, you just think because you put somebody on a pedestal that real life can't happen to them. It does all the time.
Yes, it does.
So, anyway, good luck to Cardi. And as far as Kardashians, I mean, come on, you ain't gonna ever get nobody to sympathize with them motherfuckers. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. You ain't never gonna get no black people that I know to sympathize with them. It don't matter how many people Kim tried to save from prison or how many niggas cheat on, like honestly, I feel like, and this is why I don't get too close to people and I watch my back around folks, because the hypocrisy it jumps out of folks, because because like low-key when it was Cardi, people was going around talking about how it was abusive.
Come on.
When it was Chloe, people was partying off of the quote-unquote abuse of a public emotional, like a public cheater that was supposedly emotionally manipulated, blah, blah, blah. That shit changed so quick because it's just about, do I like you or not like you? Nobody got real morals.
No, they don't.
There's no real standard to what they're saying. They're in your face telling you one thing, but you just look at their behavior and like, oh, you don't actually believe any of the shit you're saying. You like this person. So you just justified it. You found the words to justify how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
When it's another person you don't like, them words go out of the fucking window, and now all of a sudden it's party time. So, you know, and it's a human thing. It is. You know, everybody has it. I'm not above it,
but yes.
Everybody has it, but it just, you know, sometimes it'd be letting you know, man, like, oh, okay, this isn't real. You guys are just grandstanding today, and then 24 hours later, you'll be the complete opposite, and all you got to do is wait 24 hours. It's like people say they like our show because of nuance and the way we talk about shit. a lot of us just getting older, seeing the patterns and being patient and being like, this is going to flip the other way the second y'all like or don't like a person.
Yep. And you've been around long enough, you'll see the shit on repeat. And so after a while you go, oh, this shit ain't that important, because like you said, in 24 hours at the next story break or, you know, whatever happens, the wave will switch the other way.
Yeah. And I see my man Steven in the chat said it's hard because they put their lives, not their talents, up for display, so people will continue that to have a POV. Their lives are reality TV. The line is blurred so much now, I don't even think you can just put that on the Kardashians. Like, the Kardashians also have a beauty empire and all this type of shit, but the Cardi B's life was on reality TV. Like it's not just her court. People still have misgivings about her being a rapper. Like,
yes, they do.
There's still people that doubt her talent as a rapper. I'm not one of those people, but there's still people that are out here like, she's not even that good at this shit. And yet we know her because of Instagram. We know her because of Love and Hip Hop. Like the blinds of talent versus personality online have blurred so much with social media. I don't think we're Megan Thee Stallion. Is she more of a rapper or a person or personality at this point? I'm not saying you can't be both, but I'm saying like there's people that fuck with Megan Thee Stallion that won't even listen to her. They don't have to listen to her music, they just fuck with her.
Yeah, I haven't really heard her music.
Yeah, there's people that fuck with Cardi that like, I'm not a huge fan of her music, but I'm a fan of Cardi. Kardashians were kind of trendsetters. They were the first people to do that shit, really, to be like, we just like y'all's life and we don't really give a fuck about anything else y'all do. Now I don't know why people like that shit, because I found it to be very boring.
Oh, wasn't it boring?
I don't understand the obsession with them, but whatever. Like, it just feels weird that, you know, it's not as cut and dry as it used to be, where it's like, this person's on TV because they're talented at something. Like, well, maybe the thing they're talented at is being interesting to people on TV. We haven't quantified that yet. So anyway, enough about them. I'm sure I'm gonna get enough people upset with me for not just being happy that Chloe's getting cheated on.
Right.
I'm sorry to let everybody down, okay? I'm sorry to have a heart and to be consistent about the same way I felt about Cardi as I would feel about Chloe. I'm sorry that hurt you guys, all right? let's do some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe, finds different articles, make us feel fucked with, and assigns point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. See who's fucking with us now. Hennessy.
The drink. Okay.
Launches a $10 million fellowship program for HBCU students.
Come on, Hennessy!
Hennessy is invested in the next generation of black leaders. According to diverse issues in higher education, the cognac brand is joining forces with Thurgood Marshall College Fund for the creation of a graduate fellowship program designed for students at historically black colleges and universities. Never stop, never settle, indeed.
Come on.
Through the program, which is dubbed Hennessy Fellows. Oh, man. Oh, to be a student again and to get into Hennessy Fellows. Oh,
come on.
I would love to be a Hennessy Fellow.
Yes.
Students will have the opportunity.
Everybody walk around in purple bags.
That's Crown Royal.
Oh, my bad.
Students will have the opportunity.
I got my drinks mixed up. I'm sorry. They all black. They all nigga drinks. My bad.
Crown Royal fellows only go to community colleges, Karen. We all know this. Students will have the opportunity to take advantage of career development and mentorship to prepare themselves for executive level roles in some of the nation's leading companies. They will also have financial assistance to further their education, receiving up to $20,000 each to a year to cover tuition and an additional $10,000 stipend. That's $30,000 a year. The students will also be able to compete for a $10,000 grant for a community focused project. Each year, 10 individuals will be selected to participate in the program. Hennessy has pledged to donate $10 million for the Hennessy Fellows Initiative. Wow. That's what's up, Hennessy. Zero to 100.
Oh, I'm not fucked with at all.
Yeah, I give that a zero. Shout out to Nas. Shout out to Big Sean.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that fuck with them. Maybe they were the ones that convinced them to do it. So, all right. This 420, let's be blunt about justice, says BenandJerry.com.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is going to be good.
Happy 420, everyone. Now that pot is legal in 33 states and counting, it's a pretty heady moment for stoner culture. Fans of cannabis can celebrate 420 openly in style in more places than ever before. And even if you're not in a state that legalized pot, there's still a pretty good chance that cops won't hassle you as you spend 420 doing your thing. If you're a white person.
Come on.
What's going on with Ben and Jerry's?
I don't know. They got woke. We got woke ice cream?
I don't know. Ben and Jerry's woke up on 420 and said, excuse me, white people.
Ooh, okay. Now this back bitch to the table.
Sorry to bring you down, but that's the harsh reality. If you love pot and you're white, everything is totally awesome these days. In 2017, 81% of cannabis executives were white. Meanwhile, even in states where pot is legal, and even though black people and white people use pot at similar rates, black people are still arrested way more often than whites. We love 420 and we love legalization, but that's not okay. And they do have links. Let's be blunt. Overall, 2018 was a big year for legalization, of course. Pot is still illegal on the federal level, although increasing numbers of lawmakers are trying to do something about that. As more and more states just say yes to pot, the cannabis industry is booming. It's expected to hit $20 billion by 2020. That kind of money has the power to change minds. Take former Speaker of House John Boehner, once unalterably opposed to the legalizing pot. He's now a full-time supporter and investor. To be fair, the country as a whole has shifted in perspective on legalization over the years, with 60% of the public now in favor. For the first time ever, another survey showed that support is bipartisan. All the declared candidates for president are firmly in the pro-pot camp too. No doubt about it, that's good news. What's troubling is that criminal justice hasn't kept up with the culture. Even Boehner's change of heart only goes so far. Regarding the 400,000 people arrested for selling or trafficking pot during his time as speaker, 2011 to 2014, he said the whole criminal justice part of this, frankly, it never crossed my mind. That's the problem. Harsh numbers. Between 2001 and 2010, there were more than 8 million pot arrests, 88% for possession. And during that time, a black person was 3.73 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than a white person.
Come on, somebody was doing their thesis.
Since then, in states that have legalized cannabis, arrests, as you'd expect, have gone down. Unfortunately, legalization hasn't done anything to change the racial disparities. Take a look at Alaska, Colorado, and Washington, D.C., all of which who have legalized pot. In Alaska, black people are still being arrested 10 times more often than whites. In D.C., they're arrested 4 times more, and in Colorado, 3 times. Let's be clear. Even with increased legalization, hundreds of thousands of people are still being arrested for pot, and most of these people are black. Black New York City residents, for example, are 8 times more likely to be arrested for pot than whites. It's high time to make a change. We're calling on Congress to expunge prior marijuana convictions and provide pardons, amnesty to anyone whose only crime was possession of cannabis. Cities like San Francisco and Seattle are already doing it. It's time to take this national. We also love the approach taken by some big city prosecutors. They've declared that they will no longer be prosecuting pot possession cases. In some cities, they're even wiping old warrants and convictions from the books. Yeah, that's what the prosecutor in Chicago is looking into doing.
Right.
Want to feel really, really good this 420? Then let's make sure that legalization benefits us all. That'll turn 420 into a day we can all celebrate. Well, Ben and Jerry's.
Mm-hmm. They welcome to the cookout.
Good grief.
I mean, can we play them some party music? Ben and Jerry can come.
I mean, I do got a list here. Hold on. Here you go. Oh, if it isn't Ben and Jerry, I see you bought the treats and some ice cream. Why don't you go ahead and roll me up something and then roll me up one of them cones. little dessert to help the meal go down faster.
Be like, no, grandma, you can't eat them edibles. Just try the ice cream, grandma.
Let me get some of that Americone dream. Okay.
I want two scoops. Give me two scoops of that one. I want a waffle cone. Can I get a waffle cone with two scoops?
I'll take a waffle cone and a joint, please. Thank you. Get that chunky monkey and a bag of your finest kush. Thank you so much.
Come on.
Ben and Jerry, welcome to the cookout for show.
Yes.
I'll tell you who else is welcome to the cookout.
Who else?
Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook bans white nationalism and white separatism. Woo! We made it, y'all. You know that I play the fool. But then you came into my life and you changed that. Gonna know what I want and where is that. All it took was a bunch of terrorism and death and shootings and organizations on the alt-right, and oh man, we finally got it, y'all. We made it to the mountaintop.
Dang, take they plate to go.
I think this is what Martin Luther King was dreaming about, y'all.
Ben and Jerry, I get him a ticket. Facebook, here you go. Take your to-go plate and leave.
Facebook finally decided that apparently white nationalism and white separatism needs to get off the platform.
Are y'all still banning black people and women for saying men are trash?
Facebook posted a statement titled Standing Against Hate, its website confirming the policy update. We stand against hate, y'all. Yay. As part of the policy update, Facebook will also direct users searching for content related to white supremacy to its platform, Life After Hate, a nonprofit organization that provides support and education to help people leave hate groups and movements. 0 to 100, Karen.
25.
Yeah, I feel like
possibly a 50.
I feel like this is taking the knife out an inch when the knife is already stuck in my chest.
Yeah, I give them a 50. I do appreciate this, but there's still more you can do. Quit kicking off activists. Mm-hmm. Quit black, particularly black women. Quit trying to harass trans people, you know, and stuff like that. Quit, you know, abandoning women for saying men are trash. Like, until we fix that problem, pay the people that's actually monitoring your site, the people, a living wage.
Yeah, feels like freedom of speech is only for certain people right.
Correct.
Now. And it's kind of hard to get behind
so
that.
I give you a 50. That's why I said they get a to-go plate, and your tea is in the to-go cup.
Yeah, I think they gotta get at least a 50 from me, if not still a all-time 100. Fuck y'all, because y'all just gonna be kicking black people off the site for
right.
Not too long anyway. Last one. Ancestry.com is under fire for their tone-deaf advertisement that shows a runaway slave with her white lover.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's the ad. I don't know if you've seen it before. Oh, wait. I should probably unmute the sound. That always helps. Then y'all can hear the ad as well as us watch it here. It's only 30 seconds long.
Abigail, we can escape to the north. There's a place we can be together across the border. Will you leave with me?
Without you, the story stops here. Ancestry.
Uncover the lost chapters of your family history with Ancestry.
Abigail Williams, Ancestry.com. Now, I have no idea. My understanding is that this is not even a real story. Yeah, they just had to make it up. The ad is called Inseparable. Yeah. So, 0 to 100, Karen.
100, because nobody black was in the room that made this decision.
Yeah, and I think maybe for white people they'll be confused as to why that is so fucked up to us.
Come on, because I
remember I said when I first saw this, it's like this shit is so deeply just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And black people do want to know their history on ancestry.com and shit like that. I'm sure there's black people that have looked that shit up. There's, you know, and for different reasons, whatever, you know, not questioning their motives, but the romanticized version of what essentially is for most of us just slavery. Like if you got some white in your blood, it's probably because of slavery. And it probably was not because of anyone falling in deep love in the 1800s and migrating to the North.
Come on.
This is the Thomas Jefferson revisionism. This is the, you know, they were
happy slaves.
As long as you let white people tell the narrative, everybody was in love and slavery was great. And hey, that's how everybody got together. But that's so atypical. And somebody said to me, because I said, I don't even know what this idea was, but there had to be better ideas. And somebody's like, I can't think of any. What idea would be better? And you know what? It took me 3 seconds to think of a different idea that would be better, guys. I don't know why everybody was stumped on this one. It's very simple. Two black people in the ad.
Yeah, it gave it a whole different meaning.
Same ad.
Cause that shit really happens. I love you, baby. Let's run up north.
Two black people. I found somewhere we could be free. Let's run out of here. And then you do the same fucking search for Abigail Williams or whatever. I know which ad they wouldn't run though. They didn't want to run no ad that would have been the same way, but with a white woman and a black man that was a slave. Can't have that. That reminded Hollywood Shuffle skit for black acting school. Wait, why is this freezing? All right, that reminded me of the Hollywood Shuffle skit for black acting school. Of course, it has to freeze for a second.
Stop it here! But he says he wants your freedom. He knows you ain't gonna have no freedom back then.
What if we get caught? What if we get caught?
I'll kill you if you don't stop that crime. And I'll kill anybody else that stands in the ways of freedom. Now, we ain't going back. That day ain't none of our home. So let's move!
I can't wait to get my freedom.
Mendingo, I'll go anywhere with you. Mendingo, I love you.
I love you too, Bessie. Willie Mae.
Mendingo. Mendingo, I can't go back there. I love you too, Mendingo.
But Miss Anne, what about your kinfolk?
I don't care. I'm going with you.
He helped her, but he didn't help the other two.
Right. They look like what?
Listen. That's the only... They should have Ancestry.com right after that. Because that's the only way that ad could have been worse. Shout out to Robert Towns and his Jasper. Man, Hollywood Shuffle, one of the greatest movies.
Of all time.
Have all y'all watched it? I feel like all of you should have watched it if you could watch this show.
Depend on Jim. Hey, you know, because you do have a whole generation, they were not around when that came out.
Well, you heard it here first. In case you have not watched Hollywood Shuffle, you should fucking watch. It's timeless. Hilarious. It's still relevant. It's still funny as fuck. But that's my shit, dog. I fucks with Hollywood Shuffle. Me and Nick Jew was doing lines from sneaking into the movies segment last night on
yes
Twitter. I disagree, homeboy. I disagree. So yeah, y'all should check that out. But 100 for ancestry.com.
yes,
Yeah, that's just ridiculous, man. Jesus Christ. All right, man, let's do some guest erase and then we'll get out of here. And of course tomorrow is doing Game of Thrones recap with Jemele Hill, so check that out, 5 o'clock. Don't be late. All right, where's my guest erase music?
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Ba-dum-ba-dum.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we ready to play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course everyone playing the game is a racist. All right, make no mistakes.
Right.
A Christian school has expelled two black students because their mother committed adultery. Okay. A mother from Ohio is sharing her shocking story regarding her two daughters who were removed from a private Christian school. We've heard of, because she committed adultery, but we've heard of this with like gay stuff. I think it's the first time we heard this with adultery. Right? Normally it's like a way to like, oh, we saw someone got gay married over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You gotta get out of school. You know, you can't teach here. You gay. But you can't have committed adultery. Also, like, which sins are allowed?
Whichever ones they choose, apparently.
Like, if I'm a fat parent, can y'all be like, sir, I hope you're not committing gluttony trying to come up in here and with them kids, because you know gluttonous kids will be getting educated here at our academy. Like, how far does this shit go? Shrimp on a Friday, sir? Did you blend polyester and silk? Like, how far are y'all taking this shit back, man?
We not stand for this.
Right. I don't think you deserve to have your children educated here, all right? Her name is Summer Grant. She's 30. She told WYKC that her second grader, Sumaya, and fourth grader, Sumara, have attended Chapel Hill Christian Schools in northeastern Ohio for years, and they were dismissed last Friday with only 30 days left in the school year. Yo, how cold is that?
You couldn't even let them finish that school year?
How cold is that? Grant reported a conversation she had Pastor John Wilson, who informed her she was violating the school's covenant by having children with different fathers. According to him, Grant was allegedly living in sin. He said it was many reasons, and the main one was because I was not married and my children had different fathers. Additionally, the pastor, who's also a school administrator, claimed Grant was violating the covenant by not being married to the men she had the two girls with. Pastor Wilson can be heard saying in recorded footage, it's not that they should not go to the school, it's that they can't go to the school. What? It's not that they should not go to school, it's that they can't go to school. Okay. Grant says her children are great students and proudly showed off the accolades and certificates the two earned from their school. Also on the footage, Wilson is heard saying that having kids by the same man is a strong recommendation but not a requirement. The woman claims that she isn't the only parent who isn't married with kids and wonders why she was singled out. Pastor Wilson released a joint statement with Jeff Sumner and the Board of Education chairman of the school. He claims that parents sign a written agreement to conduct themselves in accordance with express guidelines of conduct. That agreement is meant to reflect a common commitment to the cause of Christ, foster the spirit of unity and bonds of peace, and continue to extend the redemptive work of Christ in individual lives and corporate life of God's school. Now think about what he's saying. Look at these loaded words. Spirit of unity by kicking your children out.
Yeah, that's right. See, this shit that make people mad, because where's the compassion? Where's the empathy, sympathy? Where's the, you know, you're not ministering to her. Like, you know, you're not doing any of that. And what does she have to do with her kids? She's paying to go here.
Right.
Probably a lot of fucking money. Her children did not break any guidelines to your school. What's the problem?
Unity through the bond of peace. What's peaceful about this?
Nothing.
Continuing to extend the redemptive work of Christ. Now, redemption, I don't know if I don't understand. Redemption will require the fall from grace first. So you can't have redemption unless somebody falls short. So if you're saying her behavior falls short, how can you not extend that redemption to her? If that's something you truly believe. The work of
this
Christ.
This sounds more personal too.
The work of Christ in individual lives. The work of Christ, like, Christ, this is the work of Christ. This is what God, this is what Jesus used to do to people. Two different fathers, get the fuck out of my school. I know that much. The work of Christ. Go on, pray for me. While not being specific, Wilson asserted the dismissal was necessary in order to protect the safety of the school children and their families. Grant claims she never signed any agreement of the sort. Guess the race of this woman.
Oh, white, and particularly if I didn't sign anything, I'll sue you. What papers did I sign saying that I agreed to this?
Guess the race, chat room. Karen says white. White says the male lady. She's black because them kids' names. I'm going to say white. Sounds like somebody got passed over for baby daddy number three, black. Yeah, he was mad. The pastor was like, you got to go if I can't get none. Black, white, and I bet one of them babies are black. Diary of a mad black mama, black, her name Summer, white. School is white, mama is black. What? The most disrespected woman in the world. So a lot of people are going with black. Karen's going white. White woman, black kids, says Todd. The correct answer is she, all the kids, her, everybody was black. Oh. I'm sorry. That means you get booze.
Yeah, I get booze.
Some of y'all did get it right, though. For some reason, I'm finding a hard time finding their pictures, but they are black, trust me. That you can see them kind of in the corner there, but I would have to play this whole video for y'all to see it, so I'm gonna go to the next one. But they was black. Just fucked up all the way around, man. Like, what a Christian school, my ass,
right?
Days after buying an $8 million private island, a Florida man is busted for stealing $300 in merch from Kmart. Wow. He found a Kmart
that was still open.
A week after paying $8 million.
Did he get the blue light special? I guess blue light special with the 5-finger discount.
He got the blue and the blue and white light special when them cops showed up.
Yeah, he did.
A week after paying $8 million for a private island in the Florida Keys, a real estate developer was arrested for stealing $300 in merchandise from a department store. Andrew Lippi, 59, was busted Saturday on a felony grand theft rap for allegedly swiping coffee makers, linen, and light bulbs from a Kmart in Key West. Well, hey, that's how the rich get richer, baby. According to a Key West Police Department report, Lippi purchased the household goods and then returned the items to Kmart, where employees discovered that the boxes no longer contained the new items. What? So he tried, he took the shit out, tried to return it without putting it. How does that even work?
Right. Don't you say they're gonna check?
You have to what? For example,
he's showing up without a receipt too. Come on.
For example, cops say a box that was supposed to hold a $165 Keurig coffee maker instead had a basketball inside. In another package, a used coffee maker replaced a $55 Hamilton Beach model. During police questioning, Lippi denied swapping out the merchandise, with investigators valued at $300.59. Lippi was collared Saturday evening at Kmart and charged with grand larceny. He was nabbed shortly after returning a $27.99 bed skirt that he bought earlier in the day. However, police reported the bed skirt had been replaced by a pillowcase.
Oh, it's different with the bed skirt. Them things ain't the same.
Man, he was calculating. Lippi was booked into the Monroe County Detention Center, from which he was freed the following morning without bond. Libby's bus came days after he closed on an $8 million purchase of Thompson Island, a gated island adjacent to Key West. He bought an island! Is he gonna return that shit for like a
on a discount?
He gonna turn that shit for an inlet? He was like, no, it was like this when I bought it.
Mm-mm, you know, you open it up, it's gonna be a cul-de-sac. You be right. Like, this is not what I ordered.
Sir, this is a children's playpen with sand in it. Hey man, this what I want my $8 million back. That's what I know. Okay. I just know I better get my damn refund, and no, I don't got the receipt. Okay. I know it's been more than 90 days, but I don't care what your policy is. Karen, he's been barred from returning to Kmart. I'm sure he'll put a Kmart on his new island. Guess the race.
White, and he ain't got to be worried because they ain't gonna be around too much longer for him to be banned from.
Yeah, I'm also banned from Sears, service merchandise,
Radio Shack,
Circuit City.
Come on, I'm banned from them all.
It's the perfect crime. White, the Audacity White. That's an island without Gilligan. White, White, Kmart, Fest, Island White, Cheap Colonizer, Cracker White, Fire Fest, White. Everybody's going White. White, he went to K fucking Mart. That's original breeding ground for trifling whites. Quite white, 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 crooked ass, white. The correct answer is, and everyone said the same thing, and y'all got it right. White. That's him right there. $8 million island owner. $300 worth of Kmart shit stealer. Crazy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, he looks like I'm in serious trouble now. Man, I really put my foot in it this time.
You sure did.
All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 1-1. Let's see if she can finish in the bonus round. Man, been a while since you went 3-for-3.
I ain't a dog.
I know. What is going on with you? Can't believe you missed that one with the daughter's names of Samira and Samaria or something. I said black all over it. Two different daddies. I mean, I'm not saying, not trying to cast the first.
I was trying to fight against the stereotype.
Y'all always, that's how they get you. Three men are sentenced up to 41 years for having sex with horses, cows, goat, and dogs.
Mm. The whole old McDonald farm, apparently.
E-I-E-I-O. Three men were sentenced up to 41 years in prison for having sex with multiple animals. You know how many animals you have to fuck to get like regular prison time? Because they normally put a slap on the wrist when it's an animal, because like at least you didn't fuck a person. But they fucked so many animals, it was like, no, you cannot come back out with regular people. And how did the three of you meet? How are three of y'all
on the internet like everybody else?
Three? Can you even operate?
I like
the
fuck animals.com, and they were the only three people there.
Have an old animal fucking party this weekend. Matthew Brubacher, Mark Miznikoff, and Terry Wallace, 31, 34, and 41, were all arrested in 2018, charged to having sex with 9 horses, a cow, a goat, and dogs over the past 5 years.
Wow.
Yep. Sounds like they were the goat of fucking animals.
Literally the whole barn.
Yep. WTAJ reports the Pennsylvania man was sentenced the Monday to 20 to 41 years in prison. According to a report, a teenage boy was forced to restrain the animals while the men engaged in the sex acts. Oh god, you gotta bring that into it. Hold this animal down while I fuck it. Oh my goodness. Shout out to the person in the comments that said excessive. They would have been better off murdering a human. Yeah, is that what we're really concentrating on here at the comments at local10.com? Anyway, Karen, guess the race.
Oh, everybody was white, but my thing is, wow, that's wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And my thing is, apparently they must have had so much DNA. Like, you know, because they probably had to check the animals for the sperm and shit.
I don't know. Maybe just I mean, at this point, witness, Du Bois might have said it, something.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It might not have been a DNA type of thing. I don't think they went and did a CSI kit type of thing. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know how you catch these people.
I mean, because, yeah, Du Bois had to say something. I was like, how do animals report this?
Yeah, I wonder how they got caught.
Right.
Somebody must have snitched.
And, you know, I bet you there's probably a mood changing the animals and shit like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People's like, what the, these animals are acting really weird. Something's happening. What they caught on video?
Right. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I see somebody putting a video in there because they'd be like, my animals ain't acting right.
No. No one come to horses. Nay means nay. All right, guys.
Not according to them. Hey, hey, hey. Here's some hay. Now it should be like, hey, hey, hey. Here's my dick.
Bye. All right, that's not even a pun. All right, you ready?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about me and my no pun self?
You said white.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to read the answers in the chat. We all know this is white. I mean, three people, like, y'all are animal fucking friends at that point.
Come on.
Like, y'all have
How
parties.
Did y'all meet each other? Well, you know.
Right, it's a long story. You don't want to know how we, like, how do you even discover that that's a thing you want to, oh man, you know, I really like getting into on a Saturday night. I get into some pretty weird stuff, man, I don't want to tell you. Nah, man, I gotta tell you, man, it's pretty weird, and, you know what, I can't tell you. Nah, man, Koya, don't pussy out, man, tell me, man, come on, man. Hey, you know what, we'll all say it at the same time, guys, on three, on 1, 2, 3. Fucking animals in the barn!
I think I just found my best friends!
Did we just become best friends? Man, I hope they put them in a cell together. Well, I guess as long as there's no animals in there.
As long as there's no animals.
Good grief. So that's them.
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah. Like the pictures of Confederate soldiers back in the day.
Come on.
They got those faces. All right, let's go to sword ratchetness, guys.
Come on. Can I have banjo music in the background trying to set the mood and shit? What is happening?
Oh my god. Make you squeal like a pig, because you are a pig. Man convicted of using decorative sword to kill a Utah woman, a 29-year-old man, faces up to life in prison after being convicted of murder in the fatal stabbing of a St. George woman in her apartment. The Spectrum reports that jurors Friday convicted 29-year-old Kevin Ray McCatlin first-degree murder in June 2018 killing of a 33-year-old Elizabeth Carter. McCatlin didn't dispute that he killed Carter, but defense attorney Edward Flint argued that special mitigation circumstances existed that would have resulted in McCatlin being convicted of manslaughter. Flint said Carter provoked McCatlin by slapping him after he accused her of stealing drugs and other belongings of his. He stabbed Carter with a short decorative katana sword. Oh, that's the circumstances? Yeah, you're not getting manslaughter for that. Utah murder conviction results in a prison sentence of 15 years to life. The board of pardons will determine the exact length of the sentence. That's it. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow recapping Game of Thrones
at 5.
Jemele Hill will be here, so that should be fun.
Yes. As an editing note, for those of you leaving feedback, we're going to read it on the Saturday show.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you want to get your would it be so much feedback? We'll probably have to save feedback for Saturday so we don't have Jemele here for 3 hours with 1 hour of her just listening to us read. So we're gonna probably try to do that to kind of mitigate some of that feedback, because it's so much now. But we'll see you guys tomorrow, and then of course Friday 10 a.m. we will get to talk about some environmental justice with Kareem Taylor from weact.org. So y'all check that out. We'll talk to y'all then. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.